Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study, where together we study the scriptures line upon line. And this evening for you, it's actually early morning for me here. I'm out on the West Coast, and so this is pre-recorded. God willing, next week we'll have our live Q&A with Pastor Murray and I. And so any questions, comments you have, please send them to us so that we can address those next week. This evening, we're going to finish, sorry, wrong scripture. We're going to finish the scroll of Ezekiel. Amazing. Thank you so much for being patient, for working through the scriptures line upon line with me. And there's just so much treasure that I feel that we've uncovered as we've gone through this incredible scroll. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we will finish the scroll of Ezekiel with chapter 48 this evening. Our loving Father, we bow before you, Lord, and just feel so grateful to you, so indebted to you and to Jesus Christ for the understanding that we are growing into and the role that you've called us to play as first fruits. We just thank you so much, God, for this incredible honor. We pray that you'll deepen our understanding and help us to be much more effective in preaching the gospel precisely and powerfully. We praise you, Lord God, and we ask your blessing now in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. All right, let's get into the scripture. I'll just go ahead and share my screen. So hopefully you can see my screen here and see it clearly. Let me just increase the font a little bit. Okay, I want to actually start with Isaiah before we get into the final chapter of Ezekiel, which is the gospel. Ezekiel 48, this is what the whole book has been about. In fact, this is what the whole Bible is about. Really, fundamentally, this is the climax of the story. But here in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, God says that he declares the end from the beginning. This is who he is. So from the beginning, he sets his will. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel, my plan, my will shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And this is why we have the gospel, because God does his pleasure, and it's his pleasure to give the kingdom to Israel. And so we see here in Numbers 34 and verse 16, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And so this was the will of God, to give this land of Canaan or Canaan to the tribes of Israel. And by it was their inheritance, and it was to be done by lot. And then we have this long story where they go into the land, and Joshua then, he helps them take the assignments of the land. Joshua 13:1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, you're old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. And so they were to go in and to take the land according to the instructions and the commands of the Lord. And we know the saga. Complete disaster. Well, I shouldn't say complete disaster. So David kind of cleared the land finally. Solomon established the kingdom. Other than that sort of highlight, let's say it was a disaster. And yet, God did not change his mind. He did not withdraw from the covenant. He renewed the covenant and established his will forever. And so we saw in Ezekiel 37 and verse 21, he says, say unto them, thus says the Lord God, they're in captivity. Jerusalem is fallen. And God says, say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, wherever they be gone, and I will gather them on every side, and I will bring them into their own land. Deuteronomy 30. Moses saw it. All the prophets saw it. God spoke it, declaring the end from the very beginning. This is how it's going to end. And so God never deviated, and this is the gospel. the same gospel that our forefathers heard, we've heard. The only difference is they did not believe it. And the gospel is this relationship, this covenantal love relationship between God the Father and Christ, his people, and the land. So he says here in Ezekiel 37, verse 22, and I will make them one nation. Where is he going to make them one nation? In the land, upon the mountains of Israel, that land. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. The original design of Israel being the head nation, that all the world comes to understand how to glorify God through Israel. This is God's plan. And he says, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols. There's the gospel right there. It was set from the beginning that God would not deviate from his covenant with Israel. And that's why there's good news. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is redemption. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned. And I will cleanse them. And this is how they will be my people. And I'll be their God. And that's what we see John in Revelation 21. That this is the ultimate gospel. This is the ultimate good news. That although they have failed in every way, God hasn't failed, because he's a faithful God. He's a God of covenant. And then he says, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, that land, Deuteronomy 30. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. God has not changed his mind. And this incredible scroll now comes to this climax in Ezekiel 48. This is the height of the story. This is the climax of the story. This is what God is so excited about. That the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And we have to share God's zeal. We have to share the vision. We have to understand his vision. And then we need to be as excited about it as he is, and commit ourselves to preaching this and to participating in its fulfillment. Ezekiel 48 and verse 1. It begins. And it's going to come off a little bit dry because it's very, very repetitive. But again, remember, this is the climax of the story. Now, these are the names of the tribes. From the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goes to Hamath, Hazarenan, the border of Damascus northward, to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. So it starts with Dan as the beginning of from the north coming down. And let me just show you a diagram. I think this diagram really helps just to understand what we're talking. Again, it's going to get a bit repetitive. But just to understand what we're talking about and what we're looking at, I think I want to look at this tab here. Okay, so you'll see here, you'll notice when we were looking at the scripture, it's from the east to the west, and he starts with Dan. And what we're going to see is there's this constant east-west, east to the west, east to the west, east to the west. It's these horizontal strips of land, and it begins with Dan, comes all the way down to Judah, and you'll see that Ephraim and Manasseh have equal portions, and all the portions are equal. All the portions are equal, comes down to Judah. Then there's this holy oblation or offering or holy land that's set aside for God, where the Levites have a portion, the sons of Zadok, the priests, have a portion. There's this holy city. And then there's farmland on either side. And then there's allotment for King David on either side. So in a sense, King David's allotment is broken up or interrupted by this holy allotment to the Lord. But the prince, King David, has land on either side. And then after Judah, continues with Benjamin, and then goes all the way down to Gad. So Gad and Dan are at the further out, and then it comes down all the different tribes with this holy area with the holy city in the middle, and some farmland on either side, and the allotment to the prince on either side. So I think that's just very, very helpful, diagram, just to understand what it is that we are looking at and talking about as we go through this. As I say, it's fairly repetitive language, but that's what it's going to be conveying. So we see Dan's allotment. And beside the border of Dan, again, from the east side to the west side, a portion for Asher. And beside the border for Asher, from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. So they're all getting these horizontal strips of land that are more or less equal and very symmetrical in what's being given to them. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. And beside the portion, the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. So you see Ephraim and Manasseh now getting their allotments with the other 12 tribes. And Levi being taken out because he has the holy allotment. And then Joseph being replaced by Ephraim and Manasseh to maintain the 12 allotments. And by the border of Ephraim, from the west side even to the, from the east even to the west, a portion for Reuben. But before I want to talk about Reuben, I just wanted to remind us in Genesis 48, verse 5, why Ephraim and Manasseh are counted as equal tribes to the other tribes. And Jacob says, and now your two sons to Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you into the land of Egypt before I came unto you into Egypt, they're mine. I've adopted them. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And so we see here that the same way Reuben is getting an allotment of land, the same way Simeon, the same way all the tribes, these two sons of Joseph, who are really more clans, they are being treated as tribes, not as clans. Back to, so we saw Reuben, and then beside the border of Reuben, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And remember, the diagram comes all the way to Judah, and then there's this holy allotment. So we'll see the border of the allotment now. And by the border of Judah, from the east side unto the west side, shall be the offering which you shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth and in length as one of the other parts, from the east side unto the west side. So there's this perfect square allotment which is given to the Lord. And the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The offering, this land offering, holy allotment of land, that you shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 in length and of 10,000 in breadth. And that's the same thing we saw when we were in chapter 45, where he says here, moreover, when you shall divide the land by lot, when you shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, while you're doing this allotment, you shall offer an oblation or an offering unto the Lord, a holy portion of the land. The length shall be 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. So you saw that diagram where we saw earlier, the tribes have their allotments, and then God has his allotment, and then the tribes have their allotments. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length and 500 in breadth, square round about. So within this allotment of the Lord, there's a square portion for the sanctuary and 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. Back to Ezekiel 48. Again, we're dealing now with this holy allotment. Let me just quickly, I'm not sharing my screen anymore. Let's see what's, sorry about that. There's something wrong with screen sharing. Let me just go back to the allotment. Hopefully that you have been able to follow in your scriptures. Let me see if you can see this now. No. Very, very strange. Let me stop sharing and share again and see if this will work. Sorry about this. Guess that's working now. Okay, let's do this. So you'll remember then that the inheritance here. Let's see if I can zoom in. So you have all the tribes, but starting with Dan, coming down to Judah, and then there's this allotment for the Lord. And then the city is right here. This is where the holy city, where the sanctuary will be. And there's going to be some farmland on either side and the allotment to the prince, King David, on either side of that. So that's what we're looking at. Let me see now if I can share the scripture again. Let's see if I can share the scripture. Does this work? Yes, very good. Sorry about that. If it was live, somebody would be able to tell me that I'm not sharing anymore. But here we go. So I read this. This is Ezekiel 48:10. And the sanctuary of the Lord will be in the middle of it. Verse 11. Well, let me just read it again, just in case. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation, this offering toward the north, 25,000 in length, toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south, 25,000 in length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the middle of it. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And did the Levites ever go astray? And every time I read this, I'm just so blown away by it, that the sons of Zadok were faithful to the end, Zadok and his sons, and the Levites went astray. And then here in Malachi, the book, what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, ends in Malachi. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, which was your function as priests, says the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. As I say, I'm just blown away every time I read in Ezekiel that eternally the Levites will not serve in this holy, holy role that the sons of Zadok as priests will serve, that they will be supportive, they will function in a role that's going to support the godly worship, but they will not function as priests because of this unfaithfulness. And it really, really begs the question, what about us? Are we playing loose with God? Are we unfaithful with God? And does it have eternal consequences? Or yes, we may obtain salvation, but will we obtain a full reward? It really begs the question. So I think we have to be uncompromising. We should be encouraged by this, to be uncompromising like the sons of Zadok. Ezekiel 48, verse 12. And this offering of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. So again, we have the holy city. We then have an area of land given to the sons of Zadok, the priests, and then a portion of land given to the Levites. But the portion to the priests is considered most holy beside the Levites' allotment. And over against the border of the priests of the Levites, and over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. All the length shall be 25,000 and the breadth 10,000. So that's the allotment for the Levites. And they shall not sell it, neither exchange, nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. So the land belongs to God. He's assigning it to the tribes for holy use, but they don't own it to say they can sell it. And certainly not this that's given to the Levites. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling and for suburbs. So you saw the city square in the middle, and then there's basically farmland on either side that's just for common use. People can come, they can eat, they can work there. So that's just a very practical use of the land, and it's right beside the holy city. And it's for dwelling and for suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measures thereof: the north side 4,500, the south side 4,500, and on the east side, 4,500, and the west side, 4,500. So perfect square. And the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north, 250, and toward the south, 250, and toward the east, 250, and toward the west, 250. So they're sitting beside the holy city. And the residue in length over against the offering of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the offering of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. So again, it's agricultural land, and as they're coming in and working and serving the city, they're able to have an economy to support them. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. So various people can come there and work. All the offerings shall be 5 and 20,000 by 5 and 20,000, so 25,000 by 25,000. You shall offer the holy offering 4 square with the possession of the city. And so we know the New Jerusalem is also 4 square. So very, very interesting. And the residue shall be for the prince. Okay, so the rest. So there's this allotment that's all squared off. And then the rest of that strip of land on either side is going to be for King David, right in the middle. And the residue shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other of the holy oblation or offering and of the possession of the city, over against the 25,000 of the offering toward the east border and westward over against the 25,000 toward the west border. So it's on either side, over against the portions for the prince. And it shall be the holy offering. And the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. And we did read earlier that the prince will be responsible for bringing, providing the burnt offerings and the various different offerings for the people. And so as they're coming to worship, his land is right there. And in Ezekiel 34, we read this weeks ago, but again, God is just fulfilling all his promises. In verse 23, we read, I will set up one shepherd over them. So he's going to bring them into the land. He's going to divide the land for them. It's going to be their land by inheritance. And he's going to set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them. And certainly he's offering, bringing the offerings, and they're going to eat from the prince. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Back to Ezekiel 48 and verse 22. Moreover, the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which was the prince's, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. So we have Judah on the top, we have Benjamin underneath, and then in this area, that's the possession of the Levites and the priests, on both sides of that are the allotments for King David. Then, so after all of that sort of interruption, so it's kind of coming down, dividing the tribes, and there's this holy interruption of how where God will dwell and the priests that serve him. And then he comes back now to the inheritance. Verse 23, as for the rest of the tribes, from the east side unto the west, so again, they're all getting these strips of land, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the border of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. And by the border of Simeon from the east side unto the west side, Issachar a portion. And by the border of Issachar from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun a portion. And by the border of Zebulun from the east side unto the west side, Gad a portion. And by the border of Gad at the south side southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. Something that God spoke from the beginning. From ancient times, he said, this is the way it's going to be. Declared it from the beginning. Now here it is. And these are their portions, says the Lord God. I just find this absolutely amazing. It's God, his people, and the land. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. 3 gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi. And the east side, 4,500, and three gates, one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, one gate of Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures, and three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. And the west side, 4,500, with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, one gate for Naphtali, 12 gates to the city, which when we were in Rome and we saw the city, the gate to come into the city, the gate to come into the city. Gates are very important. They're how you keep the enemy out. And so to have 12 gates, clearly there's no threat of any enemy here. So every tribe has their gate and people can enter the city. And certainly that the Israel will enter through their gate. Ultimately, we know that the Gentiles are going to come through one of these gates as well. And that's how you enter the city, through one of 12 gates. And we know when the New Jerusalem comes down, it also has these 12 gates. Verse 35 is the final verse of the scroll. This is the climax of the story. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be no longer Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, but instead Jehovah is there. Jehovah is there. That's how it's going to be known all over the world. Jehovah is there. That's how it will be known all throughout Israel. Jehovah is there. The city. He's in the city with the 12 gates. Jehovah is there. Absolutely amazing, and just brings to mind Zechariah 14 and verse 20, what Zechariah says, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses. And then, you know, we heard of the farmland on both sides of the city, so the horses are doing work, and on the bells of these horses, holiness unto the Lord. There, even that farm work is devoted to the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Even in the kitchen, and the pots that people are eating from are like sacred. Everything is sacred. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem, which is now known as the Lord is there, and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So this is really interesting when we compare Zechariah 14:21 with Ezekiel 48:35. It's so clear why the Canaanite can no longer be there. One represents wickedness and evil, and the Lord, holiness and righteousness. And from this point on, this city is known as the Lord is there. What an amazing journey that we've been on through the scroll of Ezekiel. A lot of things personally I have to tell you. I've been in the church close to 40 years. A lot of things that I've never seen, because I've always just taken Ezekiel at face value, what I've heard about Ezekiel. It's just been wonderful and very fulfilling. Just actually read it line by line. What is this prophet saying? How does it compare to the other prophets? And in fact, now that we have this understanding of the scroll of Ezekiel, I mean, I would love to go back through the scroll of Isaiah, because I think there's things that Ezekiel has clarified that will help us even better understand Isaiah. And certainly the walkthrough that we had of Isaiah through Isaiah has certainly helped us understand Ezekiel. And I think that's how the scriptures work. They're self-reinforcing. And so the more we understand of the scriptures, the more we can understand of the scriptures. Again, I want to thank you so much for being with us on this journey. I hope it's been as fulfilling for you as it has been for me. And again, just a reminder that we will have a live Q&A session with Pastor Murray next week. And also this coming Sabbath, please join us for our Sabbath service at 1:30 Eastern time. And I will be, God willing, I'll be bringing the sermon. Thank you so much for joining us, brethren. What a mighty God we serve. What a great honor and privilege it has been for us to read through the scroll of Ezekiel. God bless you.